hike will be. The cost of applying for a divorce will increase $350 to just under $1,200. And the cost of issuing a subpoena doubles to $120. Even amending an application, which used to be free, will now cost $120. So what happens when the cost of divorce becomes prohibitively expensive? And with more than 40% of marriages ending in divorce today, is it ethical for the government to be making money off family breakdowns? Is that what they're doing? Joining me this morning to discuss the cost of divorce in Australia today, Senator Penny Wright of the Australian Greens. She was the chair of the 2013 Senate Committee Review into the impact of federal court fee increases since 2010 on access to justice in Australia. She's going to join us in just a moment. She's not on the line, just in the tick, but Amy Honan is joining us too. She practices family law, including separations and divorce, with Michael Lynch Family Lawyers in Brisbane. She's also a member of the Family Law Section of the Law Council of Australia. And as Penny gets on the line, welcome to you, Amy Honan.
Good morning, Natasha. How are you going? Thank you for having me this
morning. Thanks for joining us in our Brizzy studios. So what are the fees involved in filing for a divorce in the family law court? I'm going to summarise them there. Just reinforce the costs for us.
Well, when we're looking at filing a divorce, it's quite a straightforward application. Parties need to be separated for 12 months to apply. If there is no children of the relationship, there's no need to even attend the divorce hearing on that date. Or if the parties make an application by jointly, there is, again, no need to appear at the court on that date. So we're seeing an application fee of quite a significant nature when it's actually quite a procedural application.
This is not the first time the court fees have gone up. In fact, they seem to rise pretty much every year. Why has this particular increase attracted so much dissent?
I think in circumstances where even if parties are in receipt of a healthcare card or unable to make an application for a reduced fee on grounds of hardship, they're also seeing an increase in their fees to $280. It's just a fee where people aren't able to get around it.
Are the fees reflective of the administration costs involved behind the scenes? I mean, I'm wondering how big a revenue raiser is this for government, do you know?
As I said, it is quite procedural in the sense that parties don't even have to attend court on that date. It can be heard in chambers, meaning the registrar doesn't have to appear in court, and it's really just being satisfied that the relationship has broken down and they've been separated, which is evidenced by being separated for 12 months. So it really is quite a quick application, and I do agree it's quite revenue-raising, and it was hopeful, I guess, from a lawyer's point of view, that this is going back into the system to help parties with support either in parenting matters or to keep marriages intact.
Mm. Certain people, such as concession card holders, Amy, legal aid clients, recipients of AusStudy or AbStudy, may be eligible for lower fees in the family law court. So as you see it, where will the real impact of this increase be felt?
Definitely to people that don't fall, obviously, into that section and will have to maybe make some concessions on how they run their cases. So if they're paying for a divorce fee, they may have to decide to be self-represented in relation to their parenting or property matters, which I see may have an ongoing effect to the court by having increased self-represented parties in court proceedings.
Let me bring in Senator Penny Wright, Greens Senator. Penny, welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, Natasha.
Back in 2013, you chaired a Senate Committee Review on the impact of federal court fee increases, which have been increasing steadily since 2010, and you looked at the impact of those increases on access to justice in Australia. What were the committee's key findings?
Yes, well, we initiated that inquiry because we had been hearing concerns from particularly community legal centres and legal aid bodies about the fact that those proposed increases at that time would actually deter people from being able to get dispute resolution in the family court. And we found that indeed there were real problems with that. We had examples of women, for instance, who'd been trying to save $5 or $10 a week towards their divorce because they were on such low incomes, and those proposed fees at the time were going to make that, prolong that by years before they could actually do that. There was no doubt that this was becoming a way of pushing people away from being able to do what they needed to do, maybe settle for less desirable outcomes because they were cheaper, and we were very concerned. Our recommendations from that inquiry were that the 2013 court increase costs be wound back, but unfortunately the majority of the committee didn't agree with that, and that was made up of both the government at the time, which was Labor, and the opposition, which was the coalition.
So that wasn't one of the recommendations?
Not from the majority report, no.
And the Law Council and other legal organisations were very disappointed in that wasn't a recommendation by the committee.
Absolutely they were. They were really concerned then, and I know that they are very concerned this time around as well, that there was no consultation with the legal sector about the implications of these changes, these increases. And we heard some really disturbing case studies at the time, and I'm now hearing from community legal centres and other legal bodies that we will be seeing repeats of these this time around.
So what sorts of case studies? Give us some examples.
One that really, I think, resonated with me that was quite distressing was about a woman who had been a refugee, was a refugee. Her husband had been missing for years, and she'd developed a new relationship and was expecting a baby. Because of the cultural sensitivities where she was living, she was absolutely wanting to be able to obtain a divorce and marry her new partner before the birth of her baby. And the changes that were mooted at the time meant that she just wouldn't be able to afford to do that. And that was just one example of many. And one of the things that is a real concern is that we're talking a lot about family violence at the moment, and that's definitely something that's been a long time coming. We need to be taking more effective action to stop family violence. And we know that a woman's ability to instigate divorce procedures is a fundamental part of escaping from that abusive situation, because it's a way of asserting independence and making a new life, and really being able to have agency over their lives. And there's a real concern for many in the legal sector that additional court costs like this is just one more impediment to women being able to do that.
What's the history behind divorce fees? I mean, you know, some might see this as the state moralising on behalf of its constituents, it's a form of discouraging people to use the courts to proceed with divorce.
Look, that's a really interesting question, isn't it? Because what we know is that even the current divorce fees, which are $895 for the application, are disproportionate to the length of time that the hearing takes. Most divorces go through very simply. It's a simple matter, 10 or 15 minutes. So the cost that people are being required to pay doesn't actually reflect the amount of administration involved compared to other matters. And so the proposal to increase that to $1,195 is really unjustified. I guess there are questions to ask about what other motivations there might be behind this, because unlike other legal actions where there may be alternatives, or someone might be able to even choose just not to go to court or to live with something, and which obviously isn't always desirable, there's no alternative to a divorce. You absolutely, if you want to have a divorce, you have to go through this process. There's no other way to go about it. So that's why we're really concerned that this is unjustified. And I one of the things that I think has become very clear in the course of this particular proposal is that of the 87.4 million that's going to be raised by these fee increases.
This is based on assumed statistics around divorce.
Not just divorce either. The fee increases to the federal and family courts, but a significant aspect of them are the divorce application cost increases and subpoena fees going up as well, which will also affect particularly people who may be living in contested situations, conflictual situations. But of that 87.4 million, only 22.5 million is going to go back to the courts. And when I asked the Attorney General in estimates about the rest of it, it was quite clear that it's actually going into general revenue. So it's really like an effective tax on people who are experiencing family breakdown.
Amy Honan, from Michael Lynch Family Lawyers in Brisbane. The Australian newspaper noted last week that family law firms are encouraging couples to get their divorce applications in, but by July 1st, to avoid these new higher fees. The article seems to suggest that family lawyers are trying to cash in on this change. What's your view?
I know that I haven't, I've advised my clients who have been holding off on doing their divorce for a variety of reasons, of the increase, not just a cash in, but also, I guess it is quite a significant increase. And as Penny has said, it's just something you can't get around. There's no way that you can mediate a divorce or reach consent yourself or not get it. You have to go through this process. So in those circumstances, I don't, a lot of people also are self-represented in divorce applications because they are quite procedural. So in those circumstances, I think a lot of firms are just passing on that information to their clients.
Penny Wright, the Greens will be moving a disallowance motion in Parliament this week over this fee increase. Are you confident you have enough support to pass the motion?
We're confident that we will have the support of the Senate to pass the motion because it's very clear that these increases are actually unjustified and they're actually cruel because of the consequences and the implications they have for people. And I would just like to say it's not just people on very low incomes either, because increasingly in Australia there's it's evidence that about 500,000 people a year are missing out on essential legal services. Cost is the most common barrier, and increasingly it's affecting people of middle income as well, where they're just not able to obtain legal remedies for issues. There's a whole lot of flow-on effects for society that come from that. But as I said, in this case, going to court for a divorce is just not something that people can avoid. The Productivity Commission actually said in its recommendations recently in access in looking at legal services that there should not be increases in cost in family law. So this goes against that. And they were actually saying that there needs to be a further $200 million for legal assistance that isn't likely to be happening at the moment. So this is a context that's going to affect many, many Australians. And I think that the Senate, the cross parties and the opposition will be mindful of that in looking at whether to support our disallowance.
On the other hand, it could be argued, why should we make it easy for people to divorce? Shouldn't we support them in other ways?
Well, we shouldn't necessarily. I don't think anyone's suggesting that it's easy to divorce. The Family Law Act requires that there has to be an irretrievable breakdown in the relationship. Mm. There's certain things that people, that certain requirements that have to be met. So, but once those requirements are met, then as a society, we have come to a view that it's appropriate then for people to be able to divorce and then move on to a new future. And I think that the suggestion that that people who might take a view that you can therefore make it even harder by making it more expensive just means that people with lower incomes won't be able to obtain a divorce, and those who are wealthy will. And that's obviously no, I don't think anyone would agree that that's a fair situation.
We've had an interesting comment on our Facebook page. Renee has written, it took me 4 years to save for my divorce. My ex-partner refused to pay. He also refused to stop his behaviour of intimidation, threats and abuse. I couldn't serve the papers for divorce. I had to spend an extra $250 to hire a process server and all the costs with mailing, faxing, etc., paperwork plus time off. When I got to my hearing, the court clerk then asked me to email the papers. By this stage, my ex-partner had a conviction for assault against his new partner, and her story goes on, and she says the cost is so prohibitive already and the system is under-resourced and highly subjective to the clerk hearing your case. Increasing the fee will only mean less people divorcing but remaining separated indefinitely. And I guess that's the concern, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and how can that be good for the community at all, to be enabling that or allowing that to happen? The other thing that we've talked about divorce applications, but one of the other sort of, I suppose, more hidden costs is that the cost of subpoenas is going to double from $55 to $120. Now, for some people that might not seem a lot of money, but in fact, there's people on lower income that is. And one of the things we know about particularly conflicted relationships is, and particularly people who are living in situations of domestic abuse, often there'll be real control over the finances, for instance, and so it would be subpoenas that would be needed to perhaps get hold of financial records, to get witnesses. It might be where there's issues around schooling, where you might need to get documents or witnesses in relation to the education of the children. So it's those kinds of relationships that tend to go back to court more than once, and every time there's going to be that doubled cost. if subpoenas are needed. So there's so many other aspects to this that are just really unfair, and I think that as a society we need to be saying no, it's not appropriate to require people who are going through a difficult time already to be forking out higher costs just to go back into general revenue.
Look, thank you to you both for making time to discuss this fee increase. Senator Penny Wright from the Australian Greens, Amy Honan, Family Law Specialist at Michael Lynch Family Lawyers in Brisbane. Thank you.
Thank you,
Natasha, very much. Tammy has